with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. British lawmakers have rejected Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit plan for a third time, raising questions about the UK's planned exit from the European Union. We'll have more details with the Wall Street Journal's Jason Douglas in just a moment. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. U.S. Attorney General William Barr said Friday that he expects a version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report to be available to the public in mid-April. That version would have redactions to protect intelligence services and grand jury information, among other things. In a letter to Congress on Friday, Barr said there were no plans to submit the report to the White House for the review of any confidential information. Lyft shares surged in the ride-hailing app's public debut on Friday. The stock opened at $87.24 a share, up 21% on the Nasdaq stock market. The ride-hailing company nearly tripled its number of active riders between the end of 2016 and the end of 2018, reporting 8.6 million active riders in its Securities and Exchange Commission filing. Revenue for Lyft and its major rival, Uber, also expected to debut this year, is growing, although both ride-hailing companies still post big losses. And ride-hailing companies aren't alone. In fact, a wave of tech companies expected to make their public debuts this year are raising a lot of money from big investors, but have yet to turn a significant or any profit. Lyft had a $911 million annual loss, and Uber is losing more than $800 million a quarter. A Wall Street Journal analysis looked at eight private companies and found just one, Cloudflare, has been profitable on an annual basis. That's according to Dow Jones Venture Source data. Among the other big tech companies expected to debut this year are exercise bike company Peloton, Pinterest, and Slack. Investigators believe an automated flight control system activated before a Boeing 737 MAX crashed in Ethiopia earlier this month. The Wall Street Journal reports that the preliminary conclusion, using data from the flight's black boxes, is considered the strongest indication yet that the same system, known as MCAS, misfired in both the Ethiopian crash and an October crash of another 737 MAX in Indonesia. Earlier this week, federal transportation officials defended the government's response to the crashes amid questions over the aircraft's certification process and timeline for grounding the planes. President Trump on Friday threatened to close the southern border if Mexico doesn't act to block illegal immigrants from crossing. On Twitter, the president threatened to close all or a portion of the border next week. He also blamed Democrats for weak immigration laws. President Trump declared a national emergency in February after Congress allocated $1.38 billion for a border wall, far less than he had demanded. He also vetoed a congressional resolution to terminate the emergency declaration. The declaration is also facing legal challenges, including from a group of 20 states. The Wall Street Journal reports that some of the parents charged in a wide-ranging college admissions cheating scandal are negotiating possible plea deals with prosecutors. In all, 50 people were charged in a scheme involving college admissions consultant William Rick Singer, who has said he helped wealthy parents get their kids into top schools by fraudulently boosting test scores or bribing coaches. He's pleaded guilty to four charges. Still to come, we'll have the latest in Brexit news. British lawmakers rejected Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit plan for a third time on Friday, leaving Brexit plans up in the air and likely further delaying the UK's exit from the European Union. Joining me now from London with the latest is Wall Street Journal reporter Jason Douglas. Jason, earlier this week, Theresa May had vowed to quit if lawmakers approved her plan. She did get some support, but certainly not enough to back her Brexit plan this third time around.
That's right, yeah. So her plan was defeated for the third time. She did manage to whittle down the margin of defeat a little bit this time. So she was defeated by 58 votes. Last time it was 149, so she's at least heading in the right direction. But yes, she promised to quit in the hope of bringing on board some of her political opponents, some of her critics, but it wasn't enough. So the next step is going to be on Monday, because there's a parallel process going on where Parliament are trying to figure out whether they can, amongst themselves, lawmakers in Parliament trying to figure out amongst themselves, whether they can come up with a Brexit deal that they think can command majority support now that Theresa May's deal has been pretty roundly rejected.
And British lawmakers also voted on several alternative exit plans earlier this week, but failed to reach a majority on any alternatives to Theresa May's plan.
That's right. I mean, that sounds bad, and indeed it was, you know, it's not great. But the point is, this process that they're engaged in is actually not a one-stage process, so they're going to vote on this again. The idea is that you, by putting this sort of big menu of options in front of everyone, you can slowly whittle it down to the things that people can get behind eventually. And so that's what we're expecting on Monday. So we had votes on 8 options, as you said, on Wednesday. We're not quite sure of the process that's going to be on Monday just yet, but we think they're going to be they're going to whittle those down to maybe 4 or 5, maybe 3 or 4. We're not quite sure, and then try and vote again with the idea of coming up with maybe a couple of things that Parliament can really get behind.
Now, is there a possibility that lawmakers could also vote on another version of Theresa May's plan down the line?
I think so. Again, a lot of this is still sort of not quite clear just yet, but the Prime Minister, as we already talked about, did narrow the margin of her defeat this time. She is a very determined Prime Minister, as we put it that way. As we know, she's already brought this deal back for 3 defeats, so it doesn't seem entirely implausible that she might wish to bring it back again, and perhaps in some sort of altered form. One possibility is that she will be able to bring the sort of pro-Brexit hardliners that have been causing her so much trouble on board if this other process we've been talking about, where Parliament is trying to figure out what it wants, if that process yields a much sort of softer Brexit outcome than what's on offer in her deal, then that might finally be enough for her to win over her critics, these sceptics that have been causing her trouble. But as I say, it's still very much up in the air. There'll be a lot more to-ing and fro-ing in Parliament next week. And all the time, the clock is running down to this April the 12th deadline that we currently have.
Right. And does this third rejection put another delay likely in the mix here?
That does seem likely. It's certainly a very real possibility. The leaders of the European Union are going to meet on April the 10th to discuss what they want to do. The two sort of outcomes we're looking at now are either a delay, probably on this occasion quite a long one, because they tried the short one. If listeners remember, it was supposed to be March 29th on Friday that the UK was supposed to leave. So they've already given them 1 2-week delay. If there's going to be another delay, it'll almost certainly be a long one. And the other possible outcome then is that we get to April the 12th and the UK simply falls out of the European Union with no deal. That seems less likely, still less likely than the alternative, but it is still a possibility.
And what about the looming possibility of another general election?
I think certainly the risk of a general election in the UK is rising. So we already know that Theresa May has pledged to stand down as leader of the Conservative Party. So there will be a leadership race at some stage in the next couple of months for the Tories to replace her as leader. But there was a moment today when she seemed to hint really quite strongly that a general election might be in the offing. So she said that, you know, after that she'd been defeated for the third time, she said that she sort of felt that the process that's been happening in the House of Commons is kind of running out of road. And a lot of people have interpreted that as a bit of a hint that we might get a general election. Now, the idea of having an election is that you would return a new parliament and you might have clearer majorities for and against various Brexit options. You might also have a party in power that has an outright majority and would find it much easier to get their legislation through than Theresa May has done since she lost her majority in an earlier election. But there's still a big question mark over whether an election would actually really resolve things. You look at the opinion polls, the two main parties are neck and neck, so you might end up in a very similar situation of a hung parliament as you have now. And just as important is that the two parties are both kind of split over what they want out of Europe. So it's not exactly clear what European policy, what Brexit policy, these two parties would stand on in an election. So it is a rising possibility, but there's still a lot of, you know, unanswered questions around what it would all mean for Brexit.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Jason Douglas joining us with the latest details on Brexit from London. Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for the Wall Street Journal.